to talk today about, and hopefully preach some, a little, on subject and subject matter that I've not tried to preach on before. Just ran across this during the week, and I gathered, had some good meditation, some good thoughts from this, and so Lord, hope the Lord blesses today, and He's glorified. I want to first go to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 says, it's that first one there. It says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. So a false balance is abomination, which that would be a disgust. There'd be a hatred for that, whatever it is this is describing as abomination, which is a false balance. And that just simply, that's a scale or a set of scales. So a balance, something to weigh things on. And we have to think about during what time this was, what time it was worded and so forth. And as we read some of this stuff and the verbiage and all. A false balance or a false scale, one that does not weigh correctly. And I think of the old joke or that the thought that a butcher might, when he's weighing a steak or something that someone's buying and he's got his thumb on the scale, well, that's false, or it's been adjusted in some other way, so that's what this is talking about, is a scale, a false scale or balance is abomination to the Lord. So that's pretty bad. And we'll see even more so how an abomination it is to God in this. And obviously there's more meaning, but first I'd like to talk about the weighing and the scales, and how the method is and all, and some of the terminology, and then end up with something more than that, Lord willing. It says it is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight. Okay, that's good. The second part of that proverb there, a just weight is His delight. So the weight and at this time, and we'll see in a moment, it words it exactly, specifically, at this time they used stones as a weight. And we know how scales work. You put something on one end, and then you put what you're weighing on the other, and it balances to that. And so hence the term balance there. And a just weight is His delight. So then, even not only today, are things adjusted to where they can cheat you maybe out of some money or something, or a product that somebody's selling or trading or whatever it is. But even then, there was a problem with that. If that was not a true weight, a just weight, that stone did not actually weigh the amount, the measure that the vendor said it weighed. And so he's selling you maybe a false, not enough goods that he's weighing there. But it says here that a just weight is His delight, the Lord's delight. Let me jump while I'm here down around the 24th verse. It says there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also to himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. If nothing else in that first verse, that first proverb, and this, it teaches us how we ought to be in business. It's very simple. We know that. We shouldn't have different personalities or different lives and a set of different standards and principles if we're at home or work or wherever we are. School, if you're in school. If you're in class at home in school, you should not have a different set of principles than you do right here today. And so it teaches us that, especially in cheating or shortchanging someone, finding a wallet with an identification in it with some little or a bunch of money or something, you know, you find someone, you turn it in, you contact, we know all that. And we can go back to those, the sins that were committed when I read, several months ago, and he stole all the gold from and silver and or some of it from Jericho, and took it and put it in his tent, so forth, and thought, okay, nobody will know about this and all, and then they did. But to take something, oh, nobody will even know about this, so I'll just take it. Well, of course, we all know, and it goes without saying, there is someone who always knows, and that's the Lord, that's God. He always knows, and. I just read that word abomination there of what he thinks about this. So if nothing else, just secularly or literally in business, in dealings, to be fair, to be honest, teaches us this. I'm amazed all the time at the level of detail that God's word goes to, even with little things like this. You can typically find it in there. Do not ask me where to go to find. Oh, well, where to go find this particular rule in life or something? You can usually a preacher can come up with some very general rule or a scripture that covers everything in there. But when I have to apologize to Kathy all the time, and she reminds me of this, but she'll ask me a question, and I'll quote the scripture about foolish and unlearned questions. And she doesn't like that much, as well she should not. But I do try to answer it. Sometimes you have to study on things and all, but the God's Word has the details in here that we need, and in the King James translation, simple enough for us to either read, to interpret, or to find someone to interpret it. Here. So now let me jump to the 20th proverb while I'm here. In Proverbs 20 and 10 says, diverse weights. And diverse measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. So he's emphasizing this. Okay, well, it wasn't just in 11:1; it's now here in 20:10, Proverbs 20 and verse 10. He words it differently. But diverse weights are false ones, like I was just saying, false weights. You think, well, we don't use we use money, cash, credit cards, things like that. It's all computerized, and it's gonna take out and work how it should. Although I have heard that there's some kind of a contraption or a device that someone can put on a gas pump and actually divert gas that you think's going into your tank to somewhere else, so that dollar signs are going and spinning around or going up digitally. I just aged myself, but yet you're not getting all of that product. So even today, we don't use the measures, the stones. You don't have to take a bag of stones with you to the store and weigh that stuff out, your corn or whatever you're buying. But still, false weights in anything that's being measured, certainly with computers, that can be done. There's several computer-related people in here and some who are not. You can program things. Computers just do what you tell them to do. And that's done all the time. And so that's our weights right there. That's our stones, our measurements. And so false measures and weights, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Right across here in my Bible, in the 23rd verse of this 20th Proverbs, he repeats it again. Diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good. So I think we got that point. It's not good. It is abomination to the Lord. So the only reason I really go here, because it's the same thought, same teaching, different wording, but he does use the word false here, or diverse, but it's emphasized. Now, I'm not saying, okay, you mean to tell me that if something is only mentioned once in the Bible, then, oh, it's not that important. He didn't emphasize it four times like so many preachers do. No, if it's in here, it's God's inspired word. I always think about the communion service and the end of that and the washing of the saints' feet. And that's one place there. Gospel of John, 13th chapter. It's the only place. But he's emphasizing it here. I love the Apostle Paul does that many times as well. He doubles down on something. He mentions it again, or he writes it even to another church that he's writing an epistle to, whom he's writing an epistle. In Proverbs 16, and then I'm going to jump back here in the Old Testament. So here we have some of the wording that describes this even more. And again, anything that has helps me remember what certain things are, then I try to hang on to those words here. And so I certainly want to bring them to God's people. So this helps us here and also gives us a picture of how people lived back then. I'm always interested in that. Proverbs 16 and verse 11. He says, a just weight, so the opposite of a diverse weight, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. So, okay, now it's talking about the Lord's weight and balance here. His scale, his measurements and all. And I begin to think, okay, of him measuring me. I think of eternally. And the only way that we measure up, that we no longer come short of the glory of God, as all men do, is because of Jesus Christ. That's his measure right there. That's what we should look toward. But here it says, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. I first read this and think, well, what bag is, what does this mean here? What bag are they, is he talking about and all? And I do think, okay, well, the weights of his bag, the stones, the measures and so forth. And so they did have to have a bag to carry these in. So you think about this bag of measures, and it's talking about here that the Lord's is just and his balance is scaled. Is just. And all the weights of the bag are his work. He made those measures. All of our measures that we might measure something against here are diverse. They are somewhat false. Even when we try to measure up something, but we want to attain to that. Now, let me go on. Maybe I can come back to some of these thoughts if Lord is willing. So this words that there in that way. Now I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 25. Deuteronomy 25. And this words that this backs up that proverb, that scripture, and describes this here. And I know you can go and find other places that talk about this this custom or this process that they had. This is the only way they had to measure things, unless you're measuring corn against something else, and you have it. It has to be a true measure, though. 13th verse of this 25th book of Deuteronomy. Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That thy days may be lengthened. So again, I think this emphasizes the importance of this and not having this abomination, not to cheat someone. And it's tempting. You know, we sold my mom's condo recently. Well, last year, finally, in the middle of the year and all. And you set a sales price. The realtor takes different values of ones that have sold recently that are similar and so forth. You get to try to get a good weight there in that as you're weighing your house that you're selling. And just because someone comes and offers 10 times the amount and all, of course, I'd say, well, if you really want to do that. But anyway, that did not happen with us. But we had a comparable amount and so forth. But, and once you, and I admit I was ready, to be done with that. To be done with that sale and that chore and all, being an executor and so forth. But I also wanted to be fair. I did not want to get cheated myself. That's why you have people watch out for you, professionals and all. And I know you can look up so much of it yourself nowadays. But I knew I needed to be fair. It was a woman, lives by herself, doesn't have a husband up in years that bought it and all. And she said, well, this is the money I have. She was selling a house in Granbury, moving up to Arlington. And but everything was equitable, and we didn't try to, here, let me add another $500, try to get that from her. It's not worth that. And this is what teaches that in our lives, is that we do. Or if I bought, like 10 years ago, if I bought Brother Greg lunch somewhere and he never did pay me back, that's fine. I need to be generous. That didn't happen, did it? But anyway, so you want to be generous in that way, and you're blessed for it. I would be but now I have to. You want to be generous, not stingy. You know, it's so much better, and you do feel good. One or two times in my 60 some odd years, I have been generous. It felt good to me. Yeah, hopefully, it's been more than that. But today you have to judge and all. You try to and all. It's hard. There's so many in need, and we do that here, I believe, and maybe we could do it more. I don't know, but it's overwhelming. So this teaches us again, and it mentions that in thy bag, they had the bag, they carried their measure, their weights in. And they would go to market or somewhere and buy some, or go to someone's house and buy it, because it says in your house. Don't have diverse and false balances in their scales. Don't do that. So now I want to go toward an ending here. I'm not saying I'm closing, but I want to go to the fifth chapter of the book of Daniel now. Fifth chapter of Daniel. And I'm sure y'all have read through this or remember hearing about it, but pretty familiar scenario here that took place. But Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. He tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels, so which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, which you know that's a very familiar name, had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem. So right off the bat, I'm thinking, you know, King, you probably shouldn't do that. Just don't get those vessels that your dad stole from the Hebrews, from Israel, out of the temple, no less. But he's drinking wine, and so he commands them to bring these so that they can all drink out of those. Make a show of it is what he's doing. I'm just going to kind of go through and pick some things out and not read this whole fifth chapter. So he's in this big feast. He's ordered for these vessels, and they drank wine. And then it says they praised the gods, little g gods, of gold and silver, brass, of iron, wood, and stone. Again, you can, you know, little red flags pop up on these things. So, in this fifth verse, so this is interesting. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. So that's interesting. I don't know what I'd do if I saw that right now over there. It was a hand that was writing on the wall there, literally. They see this here. This is how, and again, here's another, some details that the Lord puts in here that gives us this picture. Then the king's countenance was changed. Well, I imagine it would. There's a hand over there writing on the wall, candlesticks shining a light on it, gives us those details, and his thoughts troubled him. Yes, so that the joints of his loins were loosed and his knees smote one against another. His knees were knocking. He was scared. We should appreciate all the words of God, but certainly all that points to our Savior Jesus Christ and our salvation here, our salvation eternally, and all. But dig down into the details of God's Word and look at this that He's given us. So this king, Belshazzar, is afraid here, and this hand is writing something on the wall, and he's scared. And the story doesn't end right there. King cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And he told them that he'd give them all this stuff. It's listed there in the seventh verse. They'll be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold around his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. So he's promising his astrologers and soothsayers, all these people, you can interpret this. If you can interpret this, and so that came in all the wise, king's wise men. So we're not down to Daniel yet. He was not one of those wise men of these other gods. And so then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Now the queen comes into the picture here. The queen says, by reason of the words of the king and his lords came into the banquet house. So she comes in, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. So she makes that proclamation there, him. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods, little g gods. Well, I think Daniel was more than that, but this is how they see him, and so they do recognize that he has something. Daniel does, and she knows. For her husband, she comes in, says, "There's this man, so get him." And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him. So she remembered that. Whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. So, okay, he put him over all of them. Sure, Daniel wanted that. job. So he ends up calling him in. Then was Daniel brought in. We're down to the 13th verse before the king. And he confirmed, you're Daniel, part of the art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king, my father, brought out of Jewry. That's hard to say. So he's confirming who he is, and that's who he is there. I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee. All here, it's still talking about just gods. These little, their gods is who it's talking about. I've heard of thee, that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, the astrologers, have been brought in before me. They should read this writing on the wall. It's already, so there's some, we know that it didn't just move the fingers around on the way, put some writing there on the wall. They could not show the interpretation of the thing. He tells him more of what he's heard of him. So Daniel answered in the 17th verse. Daniel answered and said before the king. And he tells him here, you keep your gifts, all those. I don't want any of those things that you just promised to them, to me, nothing. The gold chains and the scarlet robe and so forth. Let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king of the most high God. So here is the most high God, God Almighty, gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. Gave all people, nations, languages. But when his heart was lifted up and his mind hardened with pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. So Daniel, in answering Belshazzar, would you interpret this writing, he starts telling him all about his father. Instead, okay, the writing's there, I can interpret it. Then he starts talking about his father. I think of Stephen's answer, quote unquote, when as a deacon there, when just before he was stoned to death, when he answered those men and he began just to preach about all this stuff. And I think of Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, his sermon, he just preached. So he's telling, Daniel's telling what was on his heart here, told him, went through this, but he's leading up to something here with Nebuchadnezzar's son. He was driven from the sons of men. Heart was made like the beast. And they fed him with grass and oxen. Till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. Till Nebuchadnezzar knew that. That's how long he was as a beast and animal and fed grass and so forth. Till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men. So he rules there. We can take that too, is that I think about the church of Jesus Christ, that he rules there. It is his church. It's the groom, and it's his church, and he's not gone forever, or he's not gone until we are in heaven and see him there and meet him in the sky and are forever with the Lord. He attendeth to us and to these kingdoms. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. So you knew all this, because I thought, you know, well, why didn't he call? And if Nebuchadnezzar had set Daniel over all these astrologers and soothsayers, Chaldeans, Belshazzar, his son, knew that, but I don't know. It doesn't say why he didn't call on him in the first place, but the queen reminded him, and he did. But he's saying, you knew all this. Thou knewest all of this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. And so now the Lord still, everything Daniel says, it's God of heaven, the Lord of heaven. And have brought the vessels out of his house before thee and thou, thy lords, thy wives. It was those cups they brought in. They're showing off these cups. Yes, my father got these out of the temple. And now we're drinking out of them at this feast of mine. I'm the king, great king. So he's not humbled his heart. Then he says, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast not thou glorified? Now here's his accusation, his condemnation there, is that you have not done this, and in God, even your breath is in him. At this point, if this prophet were telling me these things as this king, well then, and said that, I think, well, I'd remember God could take my breath away just like that. I'd be gone. Whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, everything thou hast not glorified. So now, and maybe this is where that phrase came from. This was a hand writing on the wall. I always heard, I see the handwriting on the wall. I thought it was the handwriting. It was the writing on the wall, and you knew what was coming. I see the handwriting on, well, he saw this. So we're getting to the writing here that had to be interpreted. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. Okay, so this hand is gone, and the writing was written. Here it's all capital letters, and it's four words. M-E-N-E, mean, in the second, written a second time, tekel, apharzin, those four words. I'm interested in this tekel. It's the second word, second different word, the third word, written on the wall by this hand. Out of nowhere. In the 27th verse, he interprets that tekel, says, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Now, this is not talking anymore about selling a product, a certain weight of a product or something. This is talking about him. This is talking about that king. This hand wrote it over on the wall in his presence. He's having it interpreted, and it's talking, speaking to him. Thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. Now I've described what Israel, their measures and balances and weights, their stones, their scales, all that not being false and diverse, what they should be. I know that they were not always that way there. Who knows, there in the temple with the money changers, where people buying animals to sacrifice at the Passover and the sacrifices and so forth, and that Jesus Christ went in there and told them and through the table and so forth. So even then, it's nothing new under the sun. But now he's saying, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting. This is timely. He could speak to each of us and also describe to you God's balances and measures. They are just and true. Every one of them in his bag is true. The perfect weight of each measure there to be put on the balances, the scales. So now Belshazzar is weighed. He's been weighed in the balances of God Almighty, and he's found wanting. He didn't measure up. He did not measure up. This is here. And so I think with me sitting on that scale with something, with that balances it, whatever it is, and on God's balance, that I certainly am found wanting. But this is here in time, and he told them back in Proverbs and even here, if they would do certain things, then you're going to be blessed in this. And we know what's right already. I don't have to have, I don't have to go back and see, well, what are the Ten Commandments and all. I know enough of them that I break. Thanks be to God, not all of them. I hope I honored my mother and father. But I tell you what, there were some times I probably did not, being a child. So this is here. The reason, though, we all come up short of the glory of God, and that sin, we've missed the mark. And that is here. So here in life, yes, but we try to measure up to Jesus Christ. He is our friend and elder brother. He is the Son of God. And because I would wind up saying, and where we start falsifying and causing our scales, our balances to be diverse and untrue, is when I try to put a weight on there. A weight on there that I've concocted or created, not the weight of the Lord. So I'm talking about, when some child, and I wonder if there's ever been one child being raised up that didn't say, why do you want to do this? Because so-and-so is doing it. That's my measure, how I'm supposed to weigh whether or not I'm supposed to do that. No, because if it's wrong, it's wrong. Or if my dad, he'd say, if I said no, it's no. And that was, we knew when to stop on these things with my dad. So we rationalize things. Everybody's doing it. Today, do you want that to be your measure? Everyone's doing it. And we do see it getting watered down even in our governments. It's watering down on what is acceptable. You go back, think back in earlier times, and if we weren't alive then, which so many of you were not, even when I was first alive, but we can see how it was back then. And even though, I watch these shows or read books or something and see things and think, I long for simple times. That's why I watch Andy Griffith, some of these old shows and all. So I know there was sin and evil there. It's existed always in all. Still trouble. But you want that simplicity and that clarity. We don't have that clarity in our lives. So when we're trying to balance something, we have a scale and we're trying to balance something, how difficult is it when we don't? And think about those that don't have God's Word. We measure things by this. We measure everything by this. And He's given us that. So that is our balance, our scale, and He's given us the correct weights and all, and yet He has mercy there. Whereas mercy comes in, and if you didn't know the end of the story, the king Belshazzar died. He was slain that night. He was slain. So that was his punishment, seeing this writing on the wall. But the mercy of God, because I'm just as wanting, as him when it comes to sinfulness to this king here. I didn't do those things that he did. I would think I'd have enough sense in that situation and I would never be in that, but he didn't believe in God himself. You heard all the gods in there. He thought, no, I'm safe to get these cup, these vessels, and drink out of those and show them my power here in front of all the people. But he feared God finally here. His father did, till he saw. So we have, if there's nothing else in our lives today, knowing that Jesus Christ, we can do this, we can have the correct measurements in our lives in whatever we do, whether it's in business or in trade, in decisions we make, in what we do, the words that we say, weigh them before they come out and all. And I don't know if anyone else that has any more problem with that than I do. I'm not speaking to anyone except all of you. But we measure everything. And we can do that because we have the Spirit of God within us, showing us what that's what creates the balances, creates the measures and weights within us to the correctness, the correct scale, so that we can make these decisions. And we don't have to, how am I ever going to balance my good enough out of the bad that I can go to heaven? You don't have to do that. We don't have to measure that. Jesus Christ, you look to Him. He's done that. Lord, give Him all the praise, honor, and glory. May God bless and keep you. We'll sing a song now. If anyone has a desire to join, remember to let us know. And sing the final song. Let's forego shaking hands today. And unless you just cannot stand not shaking hands with me, you can do that.